What's going on, guys? Welcome into the Fantasy Slant. It is powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings.com. I'm your host, Mike Tagliere. Alongside of me, I have Kevin Cole. We have been with you here every single week. And Kevin, it's kind of crazy to think that we're now headed into week 14. The fantasy playoffs are here. The season has kind of flown by. It's a weird one, and only to be capped yesterday by news about Mark Ingram coming out. And now he's placed on injured reserve. And Tim Hightower is now somehow fantasy relevant at the end of this year. That's really fitting, though, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, what's nice about this is people, if Tim Hightower does something, people who said they liked him, you know, 6 years ago can now claim victory.
Yeah.
They were like, I knew that dynasty pick. You should have held him.
No, but the weird thing is like, I actually think that he's the guy to pick up. Like, I know.
I totally agree.
Yeah. People were asking on Twitter all day yesterday. And by the way, you can follow Kevin on Twitter at @Cole_Kev, myself at Mike Tagliere NFL. They were asking all day yesterday, you know, who the pickup is. And me and Kevin have talked about CJ Spiller before and the fact that he just doesn't look like he has that burst this year. They don't trust him in pass protection. That's been clear. His snaps have been going down. And when Mark Ingram, if you guys remember, when Mark Ingram got hurt a couple weeks ago, and I think he only carried the ball, what was it, like five times that game? I can't remember the amount. But yeah,
they basically just folded up in the fourth quarter, the Saints, and just ran Hightower into a pile.
Yeah.
10 straight times.
Yeah, I think he had like 11 carries for like 46 yards that game. Hightower did. But I think they view him as more of the workhorse, where C.J. Spiller is going to be that change of pace back. And C.J. Spiller is also better on turf. And this week they're going to be in Tampa Bay. We're going to discuss that game. We're going to talk about every single game on the slate. Obviously, we have all 32 teams playing. Starting tonight, we have the Vikings at the Cardinals. I hate Thursday night games, Kevin. I mean, not to say I hate watching them. I'm just saying, for fantasy purposes, it always seems like Thursday night games just don't provide that spark that you'd want. I mean, is that just me playing mind tricks with myself, or is there some legit concern about that?
You know, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's been analyzed, and there might not be as much behind it as you think. I think what happens is the Thursday night games typically don't have the as top-notch of teams as you have on the rest of the nationally televised games. So you get kind of a slightly inferior product, although it looks pretty good this week, honestly. The question really here on Thursday night games for me is, you know, sometimes you have guys who might be a little bit hampered. You don't know if they're going to play this weekend, things like that. And then you got to decide whether to plug some of those Thursday night guys into the lineup just to be safe. Minnesota now is at the point where, I mean, can you play anybody on that team?
Adrian Peterson,
I guess.
Yeah, no. I mean,
but Peterson, you don't feel good about it, right? I mean, you don't feel great about it. You feel good, I guess.
Well, fortunately for Peterson owners, he's bounced back. When he's had a bad game this year, he typically bounces back pretty well. Now, Arizona, if they have any weak spot, I guess it would be against the run. So, I mean, you saw Gurley in his kind of like breakout week against them, where he was able to do some things, and it was in Arizona that game. So, here's my thing on the Thursday night game. I know a lot of people are talking about Carson Palmer, and Minnesota has only allowed one quarterback the entire year to score more than 20 fantasy points. Now, going through their schedule, they didn't have the toughest of schedules. Last week was the first one they allowed it, and it was Russell Wilson destroying right. Their defense. So, I mean, their defense has not looked good as of late. So you're never benching Carson Palmer. His floor is way too good, but I don't know if his ceiling is what most would think it is this week, especially with Peterson. I think the Vikings are going to try and employ that ground game just to say they're going to ground and pound it, keep the ball out of Palmer's hands. But that leads me into, and when the Arizona offense, who would you start if you had the choice and you had to pick one, John Brown or Michael Floyd?
Brown. I think I'd pick Brown. I mean, it's kind of an interesting situation because I thought going into this year that all of them were going to be hurt by the production of each other. And Fitzgerald seems to have been the one kind of steady source. And his target share is, you know, I think it's still 30% or maybe even a little bit higher. So it's in that elite sort of category. So there's not a lot left for everybody else. But I think Brown is probably still second in line there. And he's had some injuries, so people may view him as not being in that position. But I think he naturally fits in as being the second choice for Carson Palmer.
I was looking at that, and Michael Floyd, actually, he's been more steady than I thought. In five of his last six games, he scored 11 or more fantasy points, and that's in standard leagues. I didn't realize he went over 100 yards last week, but that's what it shows. So it's tough.
Yeah, Floyd's definitely been better than you would have hoped for going into the season the last few weeks.
No, absolutely. And if anything, I think John Brown and Michael Floyd, I mean, I know Fitz's target share is there, but he's, I want to say after I looked after week three, he's the number 22 fantasy receiver, Fitzgerald. So, I mean, he's solid, don't get me wrong, but he just doesn't have that upside that he did in the first 3 weeks where, you know, Michael Floyd was barely playing. So let's
he's not scoring. He's not scoring. That's the issue. He was scoring a lot of touchdowns earlier this year. And then he hasn't scored since week eight. And like you mentioned, the first 3 weeks of the season, he had five touchdowns. So he only has two after that.
Right. And that's where it's lacking. I mean, I know like last week, I mean, there was like a game where he had 10 catches. Well.
I mean, he's catching, you know, 8 to 10 balls a game.
Yeah.
So I think it's just the touchdowns. I mean, we'll see if those come or not, but you know, that's the problem in that type of sort of offense is he can distribute it to a lot of different guys, including, you know, David Johnson out of the backfield and even Fells scores some touchdowns at tight end. So there's a lot of different options.
Yeah. I don't think we didn't tell anybody to start David Johnson after what you saw him do last week. Andre Ellington's out again. They're saying that he should be back next week, but he's playing, you're playing Fitz, but I just wanted to touch on Michael Floyd and John Brown in that one. But moving on, starting in Sunday, we have the Lions at the Rams. It's the red hot Lions. Matthew Stafford has looked, you know, 20 times better as of late. Mm-hmm. Calvin Johnson has been solid, even though basically without that touchdown last week, he was negated like of anything. Right. And now they're going to play the Rams. Now I haven't heard, have you heard anything about Janoris Jenkins' availability for this game?
No, I think it was kind of questionable, right?
Yeah, because he was banged up last week, and I don't know if he's out. That's a huge upgrade for Calvin Johnson. As of right now, I'm not a big lover of Matthew Stafford this week. I know Robert Quinn was just put to IR, but their defense they've been missing him recently. Mm-hmm. But I think they're more being able to be beat against the run than anything. I worry about Matthew Stafford this week. I don't know if I would call him a top 15 quarterback. What do you think?
I think what happens against the Rams is particularly recently is their run defense hasn't been as stout and they've just been getting stomped. So you combine those two things together and teams end up running quite a bit against them.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense can't get anything going basically.
No. That leads me to the next question is Todd Gurley. There's some people saying that you can't even play him right now. I don't know. I don't think I'm in that group. I have him ranked still as a top 10 running back this week. Now his offensive line's been banged up. Game script's been totally out of his control. I know the Rams did some firing. What do you think about Todd Gurley? Is he somebody that, I mean, what happened? He seemed like a guy that even though he was on a bad team, he was playing well. He was, you know, breaking those long runs. It just seems like he's missing those long runs. That seems like what's missing from his game.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely what's missing from his game. I guess there are some issues with the offensive line. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those situations where on this type of offense is going to be hit or miss. And I think something that he's missing and that I wouldn't necessarily have I thought that it was a concern that he wasn't getting involved in the passing game earlier this year, and they had Benny Cunningham getting involved. He started to get involved a little bit more, and now it seems like it's kind of flipping back around where just no one is involved in the passing game as far as the receivers are concerned. If you look at what happened last week, you know, I think Trey Mason got a couple of targets, but then other than that, a running back didn't even see a target. So they're just only going to throw the ball to the running backs a couple of times a game, and Gurley's not going to get any of those. That's when it becomes an issue.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an issue. I mean, you need that. I mean, that's the thing. When you're on a bad team like that, you need a running back like Javorius, like Buck Allen, who was, you know, featured in the passing game in comeback mode. I mean, that's what we need, and I don't know if that's why there was a firing on their staff, because they're like, you're underutilizing Todd Gurley. I don't know, but facing against the Lions. Now the Lions have been really good against the run as of late. but looking at it, they've played Eddie Lacy and James Starks and, you know, the third string running back last week. DeMarco Murray the week before that, who's been struggling mightily. Latavius Murray the week before that, they did allow him a touchdown, and then the Packers again before that. So I don't know if it's necessarily a better run defense or if it's just the opponents. So Todd Gurley this week, I mean, I would play him. I mean, I don't know what your take is on this. Would you play him or somebody like DMC?
I guess it depends on whether it's PPR or not, but I think either way, I'd probably lean Gurley just because he has a little bit more upside. I mean, I think what we saw with that Castle-led offense, it was just pretty ugly. And if he didn't get, if McFadden didn't get that touchdown, which was really all because of that DeSean Jackson fumble and the turnover, so they got the ball in a very favorable spot, it would have been a difficult sled for him. So I think you just got to feel better starting Gurley and then hoping he can get things going.
Yep, that's all you can do. Falcons at the Panthers. Do you consider benching Julio Jones this game?
I mean, it depends. Like always, it depends on who else you have, but you got to have somebody pretty good. I mean, I guess Mike Clay has a great piece, as always, this week on his wide receiver cornerback matchups. He breaks it down. It gives a bit of caution to Julio Jones for sure. I think what you end up seeing with these teams is you always say, well, why don't they just throw him in the slot since Norman doesn't go in the slot? But, you know, teams don't just radically alter their game plan like that. But I do think this is a unique situation where Julio is, you know, head and shoulders and then another head and shoulders and a torso and everything else above everyone else on that team as far as catching the ball is concerned. Hankerson's out. So I think he could see more targets than you would against someone like Dez Bryant in a similar situation. So I think you probably want to start him unless you have another top 20 option to plug in.
Well, right. And that's my take. And now I know exactly what you're saying about altering your game plan based on, you know, one player. But here's the thing. The Falcons really don't have a choice. They've been bad. They've been really bad. After winning, you know, five straight to start the year, they've now lost. Is it six of their last seven games?
Yeah.
They need a win.
On an easy schedule, too.
Yes, they had it. And that's why when they started out 5-0, everybody looked at their schedule and said, wow, well, they're the one that's winning that division. If not a wild card because of how easy the schedule is, and they've blown it. They've blown it. Now they got the Panthers two of the next 3 weeks. So they need a win. They need to do something different. Julio Jones, here's a part of me that likes it. Okay. Julio Jones is not a very vocal player. He's not one that causes scenes in the media. He's not that. But after last week, he came out and said, I don't know what we're doing in the red zone. I don't know. He hasn't scored for four straight weeks now. He's not being targeted in the red zone. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I mean, me watching, the Falcons' play calling has been atrocious in the red zone, not just to Julio Jones, but atrocious in general. Where when a player like Julio Jones, the face of your franchise, comes out and says that, I just think that they feed the beast. I just think that they're going to try and force him the ball. And I mean, even if he plays in the slot like he typically does, which is about 30% of the time, I think he could do his damage there. But while he's being covered by Josh Norman, I think the part a lot of people might be missing this week is that Jacob Tammy is a low-end tight end one, right?
I think so. I mean, Tammy's one of these guys. He's performed pretty well with Hankerson out. And if you look, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned about how poor they've been in the red zone. And Tammy's pretty interesting because he's putting up decent yardage numbers, but he's not scoring any touchdowns. So you'd expect, in particular, a tight end to be, you know, to get more involved and to score some touchdowns. But I think he only has one or two this entire season.
Yeah, one, yep.
Yeah, he's only got one touchdown. And he's a guy who's been consistently part of the offense. So I think he's someone who's sneaky. If you want to roll him out at a low price in DFS or something like that, who knows? He could get on the board with a touchdown, and that's what he's been missing from his game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Tammy, I actually was my piece that I did this week in regards to the be wary of players or buy the stock in them. Jacob Tammy's the one that I said to buy. With Hankerson in the lineup, there were seven games. He averaged 3.3 receptions, 40.3 yards with no touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And in the four games without Hankerson, he's averaged six receptions, 65 yards, and one touchdown. So
Yeah. I mean, without Hankerson last week, Justin Hardy filled in somewhat, and they just ended up throwing the ball more times to the ghost of Roddy White, and that's just not going to get it done. So I think Tammy and Jones have to be their top options.
Yes, I agree, and that's why I I don't think he has the upside that he typically would, but I don't see myself benching him, and I do own him in a lot of leagues. So the Redskins at the Bears, DeSean Jackson, I don't even want to talk about him. It was like karma. That happened right there.
I kind of like D-Jax. I know no one likes him. Well, they think he's a show off, and he is. But hey, you know, maybe he takes one of those back to the house one time. That was pretty close to being down too.
Well, that was like Devin Hester. I mean, I'm obviously from Chicago. I saw a lot of Devin Hester, and he did a lot of stupid things here, but he also did some special things as well. But DeSean Jackson, you know,
he got the touchdown though. At least, I mean, I don't think Kirk Cousins has thrown a touchdown to anyone but DeSean Jackson for like 3 weeks.
It's kind of true. But I mean, they're headed into Chicago. Chicago last week. What happened? I don't know. It was
really disappointing.
It was amazing, actually, just to watch that game and be like, what are they doing? Like, Robbie Gould is usually pretty solid. He missed a couple field goals. But Cutler, I know a lot of people were on Cutler this week, and I think it might be one of those weeks where everybody's like, nope, I can't trust the guy. I actually think this is a week that it could pay off to start Cutler. The Redskins secondary isn't very good. I know the run defense isn't very good either, and the Bears can run the ball with Forte and Langford. But I think Cutler could be a decent streaming option. But on the other side, if I forced you right now to pick one running back to start against the Bears, who would it be? Because the Bears haven't been very good against the run as of late. So Alfred Morris or Matt Jones?
Oh, I got to start Matt Jones after what they did with Morris last week. So I think you gotta feel more confident with Jones.
Yeah, they kind of benched him.
They said it was like game plan related or something, but it was a pretty close game, so I don't know about that. Yeah, but with Cutler, God, I mean, you thought he was in a good spot last week, and he put up a brick. But it's kind of like Cutler's in that Eli category that I talked about, where even in a great matchup, you don't know what he's going to do. But he could definitely come back this week and put up a lot of points. So we'll see what ends up happening. I guess it's going to hurt a bit, the fact that Martellus Bennett is gone.
Yeah, and your boy Alshon Jeffery let me down a little bit. I had him in, I'm not kidding when I say every single DFS lineup last week, and he finished with 85 yards on, I think, 4 catches.
He's another guy that I looked at. He's not scoring touchdowns either. So he only has a couple of touchdowns this year. If you look at his career average, how much he scores per yard, it's much higher than what he's doing right now. He should be scoring about half a touchdown more per game. So I think that's going to come around, and hopefully that'll revert back. We see with everyone, we mentioned Fitzgerald earlier, these other guys, touchdowns just kind of come in bunches. So Alshon Jeffery's third in the league in yards per game, and that includes that decoy-ish sort of game where he only put up a handful of yards. So he's right below Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. So I think he's an elite option. He just needs to get in the end zone.
What's funny about that, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just talking about that piece that I wrote this week, and Alshon Jeffery was in there and buy his stock. And the reason I say that is because he's averaging 3 yards per route run. That's actually the best in the NFL. Okay, the next closest is Antonio Brown at 2.83, which is actually, so Alshon Jeffery's averaging 6% more yards per route run than anybody in the league. He also, I broke it down, it's amazing what he's doing. Of the fantasy production with the Bears, when Alshon Jeffery plays, he accounts for 66% of their wide receiver production on a per game basis.
Yeah, I mean, those other guys weren't doing anything. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And I think another thing about Chicago, which, I mean, it hurts from a fantasy perspective, but if you want to talk about Jeffery, whether he's been playing well or not, they don't throw the ball as much as you think. If you look at how much they've been more kind of run heavy than what you'd expect based upon the scores in these games. So that leads to what you talked about earlier, that the fact that he's putting up on a per route basis or a per pass attempt basis, his numbers look pretty stellar.
They really do. They really do. And I envision that coming back around. And that's why I say that Cutler, I think, could have a good game this week, because I believe in Jeffery. And if Jeffrey's going to score a touchdown, if he's going to do well, Cutler's got to have a semi-decent game. And I know there's a lot of great quarterback matchups, it seems like. And, you know, it's never been a time more where it's like there's so much parity in the quarterback position in fantasy. It's amazing to me, like, to think that, you know, we're looking at Mariota, we're looking at Brian Hoyer as legit fantasy starting quarterbacks.
Patrick has been like legitimately good.
Yes, like very good. He's actually been an underrated quarterback throughout his career, though.
I think so. Yeah, he had Stevie Johnson, a bunch of bums in on the Bills. He had Andre Johnson, you know, limping around out there, and then DeAndre Hopkins, he played really well with. So, yeah, I mean, he's got legitimate weapons, though. I mean, Marshall and Decker, that's one of the best wide receiver duos in the league.
It really is. It really is. And he's a guy that I'm playing this week. Kevin, what's funny is I play in a couple friends and family leagues, and I'm playing my wife in two of them.
You are? Okay, wow.
The Tagliere household is not going to be a good
house
to
divided.
Be. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm starting Fitzpatrick in one of them, so we'll see.
Who's your other option?
My other option would be the waiver wire. Stafford. I had Stafford. I take it back, and I'm sitting Stafford for Fitzpatrick. So
yeah, there you go.
It's
beard solidarity.
It's his revenge week, man. Come on.
It's beard solidarity also.
He should die at, yeah, I heard about that. He should die at white for Christmas. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. Wouldn't surprise me.
All right. So the next game, Bills at Eagles, another revenge game. LeSean McCoy going back to Philly. Do you think that they're going to boo him, or do you think they're going to cheer him?
You know, what's interesting is I really don't know, because I don't think Chip Kelly is necessarily everyone's favorite there in Philly. And Philly is really great at booing their own players. So, you know, they're top notch booing their own players. So I think it depends. I mean, I bet there's a lot of McCoy jerseys. I bet you're going to see a handful of McCoy jerseys out there in the stands. So I don't think they'll boo him, but, you know, they boo everybody. I mean, they booed, who did they boo? Like Santa Claus or somebody? Or they booed somebody at one of these games. I can't remember who it was, but they are notorious booers. That's kind of just their first gut instinct.
It kind of is, but that was my question, though, is that the reason I say that. Now, the fact that the Eagles won against the Patriots last week, it's going to buy Chip a little bit of, you know, love from the Philly crowd.
That was a bit fluky, though, with the special teams and the long defensive touchdown. The offense still stinks.
Yeah, it really does. And I don't know, but I don't believe in this team, the Eagles. I think the Bills are going to win this game. I love, obviously, LeSean McCoy in this game. He's running awfully well, and the Eagles have not been able to stop the run as of late. But what do you do with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews? What do you do with them right now?
I have no idea, because when you're talking about these situations where a player is complaining about not getting fed, I mean, first off, I'll say that obviously Ryan Matthews has been better than DeMarco Murray, but I'm not in the camp of saying definitively Ryan Matthews is better than DeMarco Murray. I mean, it's possible, you know, DeMarco has a bad stretch. I mean, look at what's happened to Todd Gurley. Is Todd Gurley a different player than he was before? No, he's just not breaking off long runs. So DeMarco Murray hasn't had those long runs. So I guess we'll see what ends up happening. It's a tough situation. If you own Matthews, I don't really know what you do. And if you own Murray, you probably have to put him in there, I guess, and just hope for something.
Well, that's where I'm at, though. And maybe I'll let you choose it. One of those leagues I'm talking about that I'm playing my wife is I have a choice in a flex spot to go between DeMarco Murray, Devontae Parker, or John Brown.
And this is in a PPR or
it's a half PPR.
I don't know. I probably feel best about John Brown, honestly, but I mean, the thing is, okay, first of all, you know, I said this ridiculous thing earlier this year about how Darren Sproles was going to lead them in scoring. I should check to see how he's doing, because he's not, but he should be. I mean, he's like better than anybody else. Like they give him the ball 15 times and you throw him the ball 5 times. He's going to put up like, you know, like 4+ yards per carry and whatever. I mean, he's their best running back. So who knows? Maybe they should be using him more often. So I think Murray is just totally sketchy. I don't know what's going to go on. I don't think a conversation with the owner is going to bring Chip around to use him more often, but they did invest a lot of money in him. That's looking like an awful contract now.
It really is. And they talked about, can they cut him and this and that?
They can't cut him. It costs him way too much money.
Yeah. And if Ryan Matthews was out for this game, I'd feel better about it. But the fact that Ryan Matthews is going to be back, it really worries me about DeMarco. And honestly, when it came to ranking them, I almost wanted to put Matthews higher, but I don't know. I don't really know how the situation is going to play out.
Coming off of a concussion is tough too, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. But that pretty much wraps up that conversation. But what about this? Watkins or Julio Jones? Who would you play?
I'm playing Julio Jones. I don't trust Watkins. I mean, I like Watkins. He's great, but they throw the ball to him like 4 times a game. So if you don't get a 50-yard completion, then you're just out of luck. I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor is showing a little bit more willingness to let Watkins fight for the ball and make plays, which week one was he didn't let him do it at all. He never even threw it to him, right? So right. I'll give you that. But if they get a lead, which they definitely could, They're just gonna pound the ground game. So I think I'd rather take what will be higher target volume for Julio Jones, no matter whether Norman's guarding him or not. I think he'll probably have more targets than Sammy Watkins.
Very good. Very good. 49ers at Browns. This is a game. Sean Drone.
Which DST do you like this week?
49ers.
That's the way they were talking about, right? Sean Drone. You're right. My boy. PPR.
Yeah,
he got in the end zone last week.
He did.
I actually read about him at PFF the last like few weeks, where I'm always like, hey, you know, you could do worse, and maybe by some miracle he falls into the end zone. That's basically what happened last week.
It's kind of crazy. I've put him inside my top 20 running backs this week, and I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? He doesn't get off the field.
No, he doesn't. And they're playing against the Browns this week. I mean, come on. Drone over someone like Frank Gore or Jeremy Hill.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, if it's PPR, I would definitely take Drone. There's no doubt about it. If it's standard, yeah, I might still take him. Yeah, why not? You know,
that's where we are. Flag. That's Jeremy where we Hill, are.
Jeremy Hill, Gore. Who are these guys? Sean Drone. This guy's all-star, Pro Bowl.
I just wonder what would have happened with Carlos Hyde if he would have been healthy. I'm sad.
I mean, he would have put up these same mediocre numbers, I assume. But I mean, it's kind of like he just took over for Carlos Hyde, putting up mediocre numbers. Other than week one, even Hyde wasn't able to get anything going. So
I just wonder about Hyde. Like, if he had a fracture in his foot, it's like the Andre Ellington thing. The fact that Hyde even averaged what he did in that offense was shocking to me with what he was dealing with. I think Hyde's a great talent. And I think he's a guy that might be overlooked heading into next year in fantasy drafts.
But who's going to be quarterback there next year? That's what I want to know.
The Blaine train, baby. Come on.
Yikes. Yeah.
No, man. Blaine Gabbert's actually, he's been somewhat efficient, I guess.
Kaepernick's totally gone. That's my opinion. I'm putting it down. I'm staking my claim. Kaepernick is gone. I don't trust anyone to talk about the fact that they want him back. How can you bring him back? You can't bring him back.
I don't know. No.
And start over.
He shouldn't be a quarterback anywhere.
They're going to draft it. I mean, they'll probably draft a quarterback.
You're probably right there. Gary Barnage with Johnny Manziel. What do you think about it?
I mean, you're probably starting him because you don't have a better option at tight end. But it's just the Johnny Manziel just deflates deflates all the fantasy producers there. Barnage and Duke Johnson and Benjamin, obviously, in particular.
Now, obviously, you just said you wouldn't have anybody better. What if you have Gary Barnage and you have Austin Seferian Jenkins, who was on the waiver wire because he was hurt for so long, and you were concerned about this whole thing with McCown, and you grabbed Seferian Jenkins? Well, who would you play between those two?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I would probably play Seferian Jenkins, but it's a bit speculative because he didn't play a whole lot last week.
That's my concern about him, and that's actually the game that we're on to next, the Saints and the Bucs. Obviously, Mark Ingram's out. We're going to talk about Hightower and Spiller, but Seferian Jenkins is an interesting one. He didn't play very much last week, and that's the concern, honestly. I know that the tight ends against the Saints over the last few weeks, my God, have you seen those numbers, Kevin?
Well, I mean, you throw like 7 touchdowns a game against the Saints, so the tight ends are going to get some. But yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, Will Tye is getting in there.
Yeah, well, look at this. Will Tye. All right, Tennessee, 34 points, Washington, 15, Houston, 15, Carolina, 12. So those are just to tight ends. Those are fantasy points to tight ends over the last 4 weeks.
There are a couple of good tight ends in there, though.
There are.
Tony Walker, Greg Olson, yeah.
And Seferian Jenkins, I mean, the talent is there, I think. It's just, it's hard to trust somebody like that. Like, he's somebody that you could take a shot on in a tournament, no doubt. Yeah. I wouldn't trust him, like, in a cash game or anything like that in DFS.
Well, you can only trust, I don't know if you can, with that's Gronk out, I don't know if you could trust any tight end, even Eifert, because he just scores touchdowns, right?
Olsen, Delanie Walker.
Olsen, Delanie Walker, and Gronk are probably your three like trustworthy guys because they get the wide receiver type of targets. Other than that, you can't really trust them. What I'm interested to see this week is how Winston's going to perform, because he actually had one of the lower performances against the Saints, but I'm not putting it on earlier this year, but I'm not putting it on him because, number one, it was before the wheels completely fell off for the Saints. And number two, they were just flat out winning that game. And Breeze had that shoulder thing going on, so they didn't need to pass the ball a lot. I think things could be a little bit different this week. So if they need to pass the ball more, Jenkins could get more involved.
I think so. And I think that Vincent Jackson can be a decent sleeper this week. Is Delvin Breaux playing this week?
I don't know. I think it's questionable, right?
Yeah, I didn't get any clarity on it. But if Delvin Breaux plays, I'm sure that he'll likely be on Mike Evans, where Vincent Jackson should be freed up in the slot. I do like Vincent Jackson quite a bit this week, and I'm going to be playing him in a few leagues.
What about your boy Mike Evans?
My boy Mike Evans, man.
Where are you with Mike Evans, by the way? I've got an update on your love-hate relationship.
I mean, like I said before, I've hoped for him. But I just don't see a generational talent. I don't see somebody that's like, that makes me say, oh my God, this guy's going to be a future stud. I see him as a volume guy. I think he's a decent play. I mean, I think he's a good volume play. And as you've seen, since Vincent Jackson's come back, you've seen his numbers dip down in the yardage because he's not getting 18 targets a game. So, I mean, Mike Evans, I mean, he's an above average NFL receiver, I guess, but I don't think he's anything. I don't think he's an elite receiver like a lot of people want to believe.
What about Doug Martin? Where is he on your running back rankings? He's got to be like in the top three or something, right?
Well, Doug, I think I might have him like number 7 or 8. And the reason I have him down there, I'd rather play guys like David Johnson over him, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
I worry about Doug Martin because it's not common that he finds the end zone. That's my concern.
Right. Now, yeah, he got kind of a lucky touchdown last week where Sims got knocked down at the half yard line or something like that.
And Sims, I thought, got in on that play and they didn't review it. They just ran up to the line and like kind of snapped it and got him in. But I actually thought Sims scored on that.
Sounds like a Sims owner talking, but
I don't have Sims. I really don't.
All right.
But I,
as a Martin owner, I'm sure he was down. I was certain the minute I saw that.
Well, yeah, no, Doug Martin. I mean, I think he's a great cash game play. He's going to have the yardage there. He's got a shot at a touchdown. I just don't think he scores enough for me to like him as a top three option. Mm-hmm. But like David Johnson, like somebody like him playing in a high scoring offense where like, you know, the opportunity is going to be there and he doesn't split time. I mean, and let's not pretend that the Bucs are like the greatest defense of all time and that Drew Brees cannot put any points on them. Now, Brees is on the road, so it's a different story. But it's not out of the realm of possibilities that the Saints go up on the Bucs, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, the Bucs are a 3-point favorite. Yeah, I don't know, Breeze, you know, the whole home road thing. At least it's not going to be cold.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, it's a divisional game. We'll see. They're usually tighter than we would expect.
Bucs have been playing better on defense, though.
They have. They really have. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't
they're
know
a good defense, I think, for the fantasy playoffs. I mean, after this game, what do they have, like St. Louis and Chicago or something like that? I like that.
Yeah, no, well, Lovie Smith versus the Bears. That's revenge right there.
Oh, yeah.
But Hightower or Spiller?
Hightower. I think we started to talk about that earlier. Let me make the case real quick for Tim Hightower. So, number one, I think people like are too talent-based when they think about it. New Orleans is just a fantastic spot for a running back. I think they put up, as far as total running back production, they're like a top five combined. If you combine all their points for the team, whether it be PPR or standard league, you get a lot of touchdown opportunities. He's 220 pounds. No one else is close to that on that team. And he can catch the ball too. His first few years in the league, I think his first 3 years in the league, he had 120 receptions, including 63 in one season. So he can do everything. I mean, he might just be old and he might be awful, but I think he has a pretty high ceiling in that offense if they decide that they're going to give him the ball. So I like him as a guy that you're going to plug in there and hope for a big performance.
I agree. And I know we talked about Kyrie Robinson at the beginning of the year. We talked to him throughout the year, and it's too bad that he went down because he'd be having a field day right now. Yeah. Not that Tim Hightower is a very, you know, we know what Tim Hightower is at this point in his career. But CJ Spiller, to be honest, he there's a reason he hasn't been on the field. There's a reason he hasn't been touching the ball. He just doesn't look very good.
He's not very good when he gets the ball.
No,
I mean,
no.
Other than an 80-yard pass, he's just been, like, you look at his line, I'm looking at play-by-play, it's like -1, -2, you know, -3. Even on passes, he's getting negative yards on his passes somehow, on his receptions.
Yeah, yes. CJ Spiller is somebody that, I mean, I wasn't as high as everybody else, but I did think that he could be, in PPR, I figured he'd be a lock for top 20. But that really hasn't panned out at all.
My NFL 10 shares are not enjoying this.
Oh man, you just need
those are just shattered shreds after all these running back injuries.
Yeah, if you're playing CJ Spiller, you're just hoping for a big play is what it comes down to. Seahawks at Ravens. There's not too much in this game. Dog Baldwin is, I refuse to give into it. I mean, the matchup is fantastic.
Chris, you asked me about Baldwin last week and I just completely panned him. We're talking about this fluky touchdown scoring, right? So I mean, they just don't throw the ball. I mean, he's getting a decent target share, but they're not throwing the ball there. And he has 5 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's absurd. He probably doesn't score 5 touchdowns in most seasons. So this is, you know, this is going to fade back.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Ravens are a horrible pass defense, but I think this is a Thomas Rawls game. I know the Ravens are like top five against the run in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs, but that, believe me, play Thomas Rawls. He's a guy that He's gonna see 20 plus touches this week, and he's gonna have a fantastic week.
Jabari's 150 yards for Ross.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jabari's Allen, actually, he's in my top three running backs this week, Kevin. I'd play him over Doug Martin, far, far ahead of him. Jabari's Buck Allen, what do you do with him?
I mean, you're probably starting him if you got him. It's a starting running back. He catches the ball. I mean, it's not ideal in standard leagues, but you're probably starting him.
But I worry about him. Here's the reason I worry about him. Now, Matt Schaub hasn't practiced. Now, they're saying that Jimmy Clausen might start this game. Go Seattle defense, right? That would be the second time this year Jimmy Clausen plays Seattle, the first time he got shut out with the Bears. But Buck Allen, here's my concern, is that if Jimmy Clausen plays, it brings down Allen a lot. Now, I'm not saying Matt Schaub's a great quarterback, but he's at least competent. Jimmy Clausen is not that, and he doesn't target the running backs. Like, Matt Forte catches at least usually four or five passes in the Bears offense. He caught, I think it was not, he didn't have any catches actually, I think, with Clausen at quarterback.
You're talking about when they played against Seattle earlier this year?
Yes, yes. Matt Forte.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my opinion, it's going to depend on whether or not the Ravens let Clausen throw the ball or whether they decide they're just going to lose. Just take it, you know, because I mean, if he's going to throw the ball, if he throws the ball enough, I think, you know, I think Allen can get a lot, can get a decent amount of receptions. And that, in that Seattle game, they just decided they were going to lose and they didn't even try, I don't think, but I'd have to check the numbers to confirm that.
Yeah, but I mean, well, we were, as a Bears fan, I was watching the game and thinking, why are you throwing the ball downfield? I don't even think Jeffrey played that game, and that's why I didn't think that the Bears were going to score a point, and they didn't.
No Jeffrey, definitely.
But he didn't throw the ball to Forte at all. So, anyways, guys, last week, Jabari's Buck Allen was on the $1 million team. Football, obviously, it's the playoffs. Playoff time is here, guys. 1 week fantasy at DraftKings.com. There is millions being won each and every week. Every play and every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. This is not fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter PFF for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Kevin, do you know that there's the Millionaire Tournament this week? It's a $3 entry. You know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, they're doing a special thing where typically it's about 378,000 entries into the Millionaire Makers. What they have this week, they're opening it up, and I think it's 998,000 or something like that they're allowing in, and it's $3 entry. I'm gonna be playing a lot of it. I do better in cash games, but because I hate taking risks on players, I guess, when I'm betting on them. But $3, I mean, come on, chance at $1 million. I mean, that's, who's your sleeper you're going to tell me to put on my tournament teams, Kevin?
Sleeper? That is a good question. I'm going to say Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones, I like it. I'm going to create some with him as soon as we get off the show. Obviously it's pretty crazy. Buck Allen, he wasn't in any of my lineups last week. I didn't like him very much, but then he catches like 12 passes and, you know.
Tackling was not ideal on that.
No.
on that touchdown reception. I looked up this just real quick, the Seattle-Chicago game. So it looks like they threw the ball 17 times. They took a couple sacks, Clausen, and they ran the ball 27 times. How can you throw the ball 17 times and run the ball 27 times if you're down by like a million points? Like, that does not make any sense. They basically just gave up in that game.
They lost that game. Was it 26-0 or 28-0? Which one was it?
I mean, it was 27-28-0. Yeah, I mean, anyway, so my point is, hopefully, you know, they don't just say, okay, we're just gonna take an L here, you know, Lily Claus and throw it a bit. You know, he can dump it off. We'll see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Chargers at the Chiefs. This is a divisional game. So I think this is one where Philip Rivers can actually play better than most people would think. He's been not very good lately, but it's a divisional game. He knows who the Chiefs are. He's played them before.
Play well.
Yeah.
They got stopped. I mean, wasn't it like 30-3 or something like that?
That was a couple weeks ago.
That was in San Diego.
Yeah, that's when Charkendrick West got hurt and
Spencer Ware came in and then killed fantasy hopes for everyone.
He did. And now we're stuck with that decision between Charkendrick West and Spencer Ware. Which one are you playing?
I guess Wes, right? He looked like he. I mean, it depends on whether you think it's going to be a blowout or not. If you think they're going to blow out the Chargers, then I'd play Ware. If you think it's going to be close, then I'd play West. I think it might be closer than some people think. It all depends on whether Gates can, you know, how bad his hobble is.
Well, I guess one of my questions is in regards to Danny Woodhead. Like, what is going on? Like, he went from being the number five running back, and I mean, I didn't want to acknowledge that, but he was, and the number eight in standard, number five in PPR a couple of weeks ago. And now all of a sudden he's gone to unusable. Is he even remotely playable, like in any league?
You know, things can turn around. So I think he's playable if you don't have another option. The problem with Woodhead is, I mean, they spent a lot of draft capital when you consider a running back on Melvin Gordon. So, I mean, Gordon was getting catches last week. He was running the ball. He still doesn't have a touchdown, right, which is kind of amazing. But, you know, their season's over. They may just be like, let's just try to get the rookie going a bit, because we traded up in the mid-first round to draft this guy, and he's been a total bust, which, I mean, he hasn't been a total bust, but he's been pretty busty.
He has been pretty busty. He hasn't scored a touchdown. He has the most touches in the NFL this year without a touchdown. Do you know that the Chargers have not scored a rushing touchdown since week one?
Would not surprise me. You know, my before he went down, my man Brandon Oliver, I used to like that guy. That guy was probably better than Gordon in some ways.
I don't know. See, San Diego, I'm wondering if Phillip Rivers is regretting his contract that he signed. He's been playing behind a bad offensive line for a long time, and it's not getting any better. They need to.
I mean, I guess there was some talk of him going to Tennessee, which, I mean, didn't seem like an upgrade at the time. Yeah, I think Rivers is really the interesting question, because I personally had Rivers in quite a few leagues, and I'm in the playoffs in those leagues because Rivers played pretty well. I mean, the last few weeks, I used him against Jacksonville, which was awesome, and then I was taking him out in these tougher matchups. But this is one of these matchups that it doesn't scream start, and it doesn't necessarily scream sit. Like, I have Rivers and I have Cutler on one team. Shockingly, is in the playoffs. Where would you go?
I'd go Jay. At least Jay's at home.
I think I might go Jay, and then I'll just curse myself again.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to think they're at Arrowhead. We do know that's a tougher place to play. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to be honest, if Rivers throws 300 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, I guess my concern.
Yeah, I agree.
My concern with him is the lack of options to throw to. Stevie Johnson was hurt last week, pulled out, scored 0 points.
What's interesting is against the Bills, the Chiefs' secondary, I mean, especially against Sammy Watkins, I forget who it was who was covering him, they looked awful. I mean, you just throw the ball up, and Sammy Watkins was coming down with it. So, but then the Chiefs come back, and they look great other times, and they shut down Phillip Rivers a few weeks ago. So I think maybe they're a little bit worse against these field-stretching type of guys, and San Diego doesn't have any of that.
Well, is Malcolm Floyd, he's playing again, though, right?
But I guess he hasn't really been doing much since.
No, he hasn't done much at all. So maybe this is a game. Maybe he's like a deep sleeper. I don't know. Yeah, I'd play Jay there. Colts at Jags. Weird. The Colts offense is a joke. I don't know what to do with Frank Gore in the leagues I have him. I'm playing him. Don't get me wrong, because he's a starting running back that's got a shot to get in the end zone this week against the Jaguars. But
he's beat up to crap, though.
That's exactly what was said. Was it Ursay that said that, or was it Pagano?
I think it was Pagano, but I'm not sure.
But yeah, they did say that, and I mean, now Ahmad Bradshaw's not there, so it's a mess. But. What do you do with T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief? I mean, I said
Moncrief, Lord.
Oh, man, I know that you talked about it.
I play in some leagues where it's PPR, three wide receiver, two flex. So I had him in a few lineups, and I was just getting tortured. Watch, I was like, what's going on? Like, the clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst, came in and threw one, like, 25-yard pass to him, and that was it.
Yep, 33 yards, one catch. That's what he ended with.
Yeah, 33 yards. I was just like, what? What's going on? Like, I don't understand. Because Moncrief had some – there was some hope after he'd been okay-ish, you know, the last couple of weeks. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with him, honestly. I probably wouldn't start him unless you have to.
No, I mean, I'm wondering whether you start T.Y. Hilton. I mean, I know they have a good matchup this week against the Jags, but, man, it's been so disappointing. I think Moncrief is a stash in Dynasty. I think he's a good hold. I'm not panicking. When he plays with Luck, he's been really good. So,
Dorsett might play too, right?
Yeah, Dorsett is going to play this week. They say he practiced in full. That just
muddles things even further.
It really does. But I mean, with Hasselbeck at quarterback, Dorsett doesn't match his skill set at all. He's almost like a T.Y. Hilton clone. I don't know. I just don't think that Hasselbeck does what Andrew Luck with stretching the field with this offense, with the wide receivers, they kind of built this team around.
Right.
Yeldon is pulling me in, like literally reeling me in again. I know the 1 week I really trusted him as like a top eight running back. A couple weeks ago, he let me down. It wasn't really his fault against San Diego. But this week against the Colts, I mean, there's a lot of people that might be playing DFS talking about TJ Yeldon. Is he somebody that you think that he's like a lock for 80 yards and a touchdown?
Well, he's definitely not a lock for a touchdown. The guy is allergic to the end. I mean, I'd say he's allergic to the end zone, but the reality is they're allergic to running the ball other than with Toby Gerhart at the one yard line, like seven times in a row, that one game. I think he's a lock for decent yards. He's a guy that was, screaming positive regression in the touchdown department because he only had one until last week. So I think he's a decent play. On the flip side, Allen Robinson's been just getting all those red zone touchdowns. So that might even out a bit going forward. But I wouldn't feel great about Yeldon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's a plug-in RB2 that you kind of just put in there and you play him every week, regardless of the matchup. If it's great, if it's not, he's getting the carries.
He's getting receptions, a decent amount of receptions. He's probably averaging, 3.5-4 receptions a game. So I think he builds a steady floor and he gives you that upside. So I think, especially if you're talking about, a guy that might be underpriced in DFS, he could give you a little bit of boost because if he gets into the end zone, then he's probably going to be a huge value.
Yeah, and if you're a dynasty player, I think TJ Yeldon is a fantastic buy right now. I mean, I know people think that he's a starting running back. Okay. I think he's going to be better in the long run. I think Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson is a solid core there. Allen Hurns, he's back this week. But I like TJ Yeldon. I think that he's going to be a stud for years to come. But moving on, we got to skip through these last few games here. Titans at Jets. We don't really need to talk about much here. We know who we're starting that game. We know who we're not. I guess the only question I'd have for you, Kevin, is Doriel Green Beckham. Would you play him?
Probably not.
Yeah, he's got this tough.
I mean, if you're going to hope for another like 50-yard catch, bump into three guys, and then run into the end zone, but that seems improbable to happen back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, especially if Revis plays. I don't know if Revis is going to play this week. It seems like he's not. He's just not somebody I would probably trust for the fantasy playoffs if you're in them. So Steelers at the Bengals. I love this game. I really do. There's so many different takes on it. I know someone had asked me the other day because me and Mike Clay have differentiating opinions. Like our opinions are totally opposite. Like Mike Clay's, I think, got him ranked it outside the top 12, Roethlisberger, and I have Roethlisberger as my number three quarterback. I think the Bengals with their secondary so banged up, they're going to be without, looks like Adam Jones, maybe Leon Hall, and I know Kirkpatrick is banged up. Like this secondary is hurting real bad. Their run defense has been really good since Vontae Burfict came back. What do you think about the passing game as a whole, the Steelers? I think you're locked in with playing Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, but Roethlisberger, are you comfortable with him over somebody like Jameis Winston?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've definitely started him over Jameis Winston. I mean, I know Winston's playing at home against New Orleans, but you never know what's going to happen with game script. And I feel like for Pittsburgh, you don't really have to worry about them getting ahead and then just, sitting on the ball. So I think you can definitely trust them. I mean, this is an interesting matchup because you're kind of expecting big things. I mean, the total in this game, I think, is 50 points.
It is, yeah.
It's a big one. And you have all these fantasy relevant guys and this and that. So it almost sets up as one of those games that's going to be a disappointment just because everyone's expecting a lot. And sometimes in these AFC North matchups, they end up being a little bit more of a grudge match than you're hopeful for. And I think we've seen that happen between these two teams earlier this year. So, I think he just has that ceiling that is like a league winning sort of ceiling out of the quarterback position. So you can't sit him for someone who isn't also in that same sort of elite category.
Yeah, the odd part is that I had some people, and I don't know how they have these options, but they should have traded away one. But they asked me if it would be Carson Palmer or Roethlisberger. I'd play Roethlisberger. I know exactly what you're talking about being a divisional game and what it's been in the past. Earlier this year, Roethlisberger, he didn't play that game. I think that's the one where Le'Veon Bell got hurt, right?
No, I think he did play that game.
I didn't think he did.
He stunk. I think that's the reason why some people may be off of him. Let me pull it up to make
that makes sense. And while Kevin's looking that up, my I guess advice on this game on the other side of the ball, I would play Gio Bernard over Jeremy Hill. I don't know if that's going out on a limb. I know a lot of people are down on Gio after how he's performed, but I think this game sets up as one is more that they're going to have to pass the ball. The Bengals would have to pass the ball more than run it against.
It looks like it was the game that Le'Veon Bell got hurt, definitely. But Roethlisberger was in there. Yeah, it was a fantasy nightmare because Roethlisberger had 262 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions.
Wow.
And then Dalton on the other side had 231 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. It was just ugly. Heath Miller put up 10 catches and 100 yards. So yeah, it was a bad fantasy day.
For all
these different guys, other than AJ Green.
Okay, so that had to be the first game that Ben came back. That had to have been then. So if that's first game.
I don't think that means that this was what's going to happen again. I mean, it's got a huge total. If anything, I would let people's fears of this repeating itself use that to your advantage and realize that it's not, you know, just because it happened once before, it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, I just think that – I think Roethlisberger is playing as good as any quarterback in football right now. Their matchups are a nightmare. Like Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Heath Miller, I don't know if he's going to play or not, but D'Angelo Williams is playing really
Bryant
well.
Bryant probably wasn't there, though, so maybe that's something that's different.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened there, but I'm trusting Ben. I'll ride or die with him. But, I mean, there's not too much to talk about there. Obviously, you know, Kevin gave you his sleeper pick, and I'm going to use it. Marvin Jones, especially, I would think, if Tyler Eifert doesn't play, Marvin Jones is a fantastic option. Raiders at the Broncos. This game looks different than it would have a couple weeks ago. Emmanuel Sanders, after having a good week with Osweiler, he had a bad one. Demaryius Thomas flip-flop. I don't even know. What do you do with some of the receivers in this game? You have Emmanuel Sanders, you have Amari Cooper and Crabtree. They're going against a Denver defense that they have allowed only one receiver over 100 yards, which was Travis Benjamin. And only one receiver to grab a touchdown, and that was Mike Wallace.
Yeah, the touchdown machine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Who would you – like, who are you – of those three guys, Emmanuel Sanders, Cooper, Crabtree, how would you rank them this week?
You know, I may be in the minority and still thinking that Cooper is better than Crabtree. I mean, he has less receptions. He has less touchdowns, which has been the big differential. But he still has a lot more yards, and, you know, he's dropping some passes. But he's a rookie. You know, he's got a – I think when these guys have to think pretty hard, you can end up dropping some balls. So I still think Cooper is the vastly superior talent. So I would put Cooper in front of Crabtree.
What about in front of Emmanuel Sanders?
I think I put them both in front of Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if I trust Sanders. I mean, I know he had that week a couple of weeks ago where they had to throw the ball a lot. But if Denver is winning, I don't think anyone but Demaryius Thomas and maybe the tight ends will see targets, and they'll just try to run the ball.
There you go. Cowboys at the Packers. This is a battle of first round busts. Okay. We're talking about Dez Bryant and Randall Cobb. Now, of these two guys, which one is more trustworthy right now? Like, I know neither of them are really trustworthy, but which one is more trustworthy, like, as of this moment right now?
Yeah, that's an awful choice to have to make. I mean, I still think Dez Bryant. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, don't ask me why. He looks, but I just like Dez Bryant a lot. I think he's a much better player than Randall Cobb. So therefore, I'm going to say Dez Bryant, because Randall Cobb, I mean, he's not doing anything with Aaron Rodgers. So. And Dez Bryant, it's getting a little something going. So I would just say Dez Bryant. And there's a lot of chatter out there about how Dez Bryant's not getting the ball enough. So who knows? Castle may just try to force feed him.
I hope he does. And I can see there being some garbage time in this game. I don't, man, between those two, they're like right neck and neck. They're low end wide receiver twos for me.
I shockingly have Randall Cobb on some playoff teams. Like, the rest of my draft has ended up coming together. And I don't know. I really suck. I really just don't know what to do with the guy.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know what to do with him either. I don't even own him in places. And I'm just like, I'm in shock of kind of how bad he's been this year. Like, very bad.
He's going to have one of those three touchdown performances, though, when everyone's off of him.
And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if it was against the Cowboys. It would not shock me if this week the Packers at home against a Dallas team that they don't see very often. They don't have, it's not like Dallas has a great secondary. It would not shock me if Aaron Rodgers goes out and throws five touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me at all.
He's due for, the doofer factor is pretty high.
It really, 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 really is. And, obviously, he's got his whole team healthy. I think Eddie Lacy could bounce back. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy and bouncing. I just have visions of like,
dear God. Speaking
landing on his tummy and bouncing 10 feet in the air.
Speaking of bouncing, how is your Achilles doing? Did you do any?
I'm always thinking one step ahead. I'm like, I don't know. You know, no sudden movements.
I said dabbing.
I think Twitter. I might have said it though. I might have said it wrong first.
I don't know. I put it on there and then. And then someone said to me, like, Mike, come on, you're not that old. I'm like, I didn't know what dapping is. I now know it's dapping.
No, it's dab.
It was dapping.
No, you said dapping. You said dapping. And they corrected that it's dabbing. So I know that now. So, yeah, you're still old, buddy.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. We're going to have to do some fun bet at the end of the year where one of us is going to have to dab or dap or whatever it is.
I think it's already passed. There'll be a new trend by then. I need to figure out. We got to watch Cam Newton and see what he's doing this week.
The Carlton was great. Mike Colbert. All right. But the Patriots at the Texans. What to do with Brandon LaFell? Man, he's a guy that was so good last year. After week three, when he became a full-time player, he had more fantasy points than Julian Edelman. And now I don't even know what to do with Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, I think you might have to say. I mean, Amendola, is he back or not? I guess we don't know, do we?
Yeah, Amendola's playing.
He's gonna play. Yeah, if Amendola's gonna play, then I think you might have to sit him, although it just seems weird because there's no one else to catch the ball there and they're going to throw it a ton. It seems very strange, but to get semi shut down by the Eagles defense, other than the very end of the game, that's kind of scary. And we've seen Brady with or without Gronkowski. He goes from Pro Bowler to, just mediocre essentially.
No. Right. And that's where like one of those questions is like, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer. I don't know. I can't trust Tom Brady without Gronk. Like,
oh, as I'm playing Carson Palmer over Tom Brady, like without even thinking about it.
There you go. Now here's, it's weird to say this. Are there any running backs, any of them that you can trust in this game?
No. I don't trust James White an iota. I mean, how often are you? Well, I mean, the only thing that's in James White's favor is that the Patriots are made not play well with Gronkowski out, so they'll have to throw the ball again. I mean, you rarely see the Patriots in that sort of situation where they're down that big and they're just throwing the ball a lot. So I wouldn't trust anyone, but James White and PPR, you know, they're worse options.
I agree, and I think James White and Danny Amendola is a good option in this game. I like him because you think about the things that the Texans do well. They get after the quarterback. J.J. Watt's going to be all over that offensive line. So what is Tom Brady going to have to do? He's going to have to counter that with, you know, quick passes. And I think Danny Amendola is going to rack up catches in this game, as well as James White. I think James White is one of their only receiving options there. I mean, they're running low on options. Chandler, he's a tight end one, because when you're playing tight ends now, you're just hoping for a touchdown. Because a touchdown literally will make you a top eight tight end.
I mean, Chandler actually looks decent.
I do too. I think he was underrated. It's funny because I always thought earlier in this year, if I played in like a two tight end league, which I don't, I play in one. I always thought Scott Chandler would be an interesting guy to grab, even with Gronk, because I was like, you know, the way they used Hernandez and Gronk, and I don't know if it's a sin to bring up Aaron Hernandez's name, but Scott Chandler was an interesting guy for me. And then like Gronk got hurt, and I'm like, oh, I love this guy as a tight end one. And sure enough, he performed. So
he's the first legitimate tight end they've had outside of Gronk. They've had some pretty iffy, you know, talents after Hernandez.
Huamanawahu, isn't that?
Yeah. I don't know. Did he score a touchdown for the Saints? Someone scored recently.
I think he did.
Yeah. So you know, Drew Brees. That's all I needed.
But the Patriots Texans, that wraps up that game. Giants at the Dolphins. This is the Monday night game. Obviously, you know you're playing Odell Beckham. You know you're playing Lamar Miller. But if you're desperate at running back, say you just lost Mark Ingram and you're desperate, is Rashad Jennings somebody that you'd think about playing against the Dolphins?
Probably not. I mean, they were using Darkwa last week a decent amount. Darkwa might even look better. Yeah, and they still use Andre Williams.
That I don't know why.
That's been one of the examples of, like, I don't get it. Like, they're acting like they spent a Trent Richardson-type draft pick on this guy. I mean, he was drafted in, what, the third round or something? Just let it go. Let him go, man.
He looks like the worst running back in the league when he carries the ball. Like, you just watch him run into a wall over and over. Like, I don't... It gets really old. And then if you're a Giants fan, watching that over and over with him getting carries over Darkwa, over even Shane Vereen. I remember a lot of people had high hopes for Shane Vereen this year. I never really trusted him, but he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, it really makes no sense. No sense what they're doing there. But at least, you know, Beckham's playing. Eli's just tossing the ball 100 times a game. So that's great.
Yeah, Will Tye.
Will Tye made some athletic catches last week.
I actually grabbed him in a league that I'm in the playoffs and I'm starting him over.
Better than Vance McDonald.
Oh god.
He actually looked like he was gonna have a decent game though.
And then he got hurt, right?
If he didn't get that concussion, he had like two catches in the first quarter or something. So
And my boy Wilson with two L's, he caught one long pass and then he didn't
one catch for each L or just only one catch for both L's. I don't remember. He only had one catch or two? I thought he had two. Do you have two?
I don't know. I remember he had the long one catch that he did. It was like 20 plus yards.
He runs fast.
Yeah.
Just in a straight line, though.
Yeah, but Doug Baldwin stole all the hype there. Devontae Parker, man, I know that Ryan Tannehill threw for nothing last week, but Devontae Parker, 63 yards and a touchdown. And did you see the touchdown?
I did see the touchdown. It's one of the best touchdowns this year.
It really was. And
it was helpful since Ryan Fitzpatrick has no accuracy on that long ball. It helps to have someone who can jump 15 feet into the air.
You just called Ryan Tannehill Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's awesome.
Right. Well, you know.
I love it. I love it. Because yeah, neither of them.
That's an insult to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It really is. But neither of them really throw the deep ball well, to be honest.
Yeah. But Fitzpatrick's got two huge possession type receivers who can do. Actually, I mean, Decker stretches the field somewhat, but not, I mean, not, you know.
He's so underrated, by the way. Eric Decker's so good.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was saying that last year. I was on top of the Derek Trekker, Eric Decker. I just lost my tire speaking here. But anyway, I was leading the charge there, and then he just kept on getting injured. He played well when he was playing. Even with Geno Smith, he was playing well. So yeah, he's totally underrated.
I gotta say, Kevin, I've
had, like every week though, which he didn't last week, but he got some good yardage.
I have had more fun over the last 2 weeks doing this podcast than I have all year. This is awesome. But Devontae Parker, if Rishard Matthews is out again, which it seems like he's going to be, is Devontae Parker a wide receiver three?
I think he's a wide receiver three, yeah. But he's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It was weird because Landry didn't see the ball that much last week, which is kind of shocking because you could kind of lock him in for 10 targets every week. So I don't know what happened. I'd expect that to reverse itself somewhat. The Giants are so awful. Yep. That I think even Tannehill is probably going to look pretty good this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good tournament play.
Tannehill's someone who plays up or down to his competition, unlike the Elis and the Cutlers, who just you never know what's going to happen. So I think Tannehill's probably a solid guy this week.
I think so too. I think Landry's a good guy for a bounce back candidate against the Giants secondary, who's been awful. This could work out to be one of those high scoring games on Monday night. And typically, you know, they do have some higher scores unless you're watching, you know, the Redskins and the Cowboys. That was bad. But either way, guys, that wraps up the slate of games. Kevin, any advice you want to give to anybody? It's the first week of the playoffs. Any big advice that you can give them as a seasoned veteran playing this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go Jones situation, the other situation with your studs. If you know they're going to get volume, and I think Julio Jones is still going to got to start them. You got to ride your guys because you need those kind of weak winning performances. So you got to go with guys that can do that for you.
I agree. I think don't overthink it. Don't play those guys. You're like, oh, I just got a good feeling about this guy. And then you wake up on, you know, Monday morning and you're like, how was I thinking? Like, I could have just played the guy that was in my lineup. I don't want you to overthink it. Play the guys that you know, like Kevin said, I think that's a fantastic way of saying it. You know they're going to get volume. Save those wishful thinking guys for DFS. But that's going to wrap it up, guys. Make sure that you guys can head over and follow us on iTunes Radio, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. You can also watch us on the Fantasy Sports Network and YouTube. That's going to wrap it up. We wish you the best of luck in your in your week 14 matchups. It's the fantasy playoff. It's crazy to me that we're here already, guys. But if you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. He is at @Cole_Kev. I am at Mike Taglier NFL. That's going to wrap it up, guys. Good luck in your matchups. Until next time, lights out.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at @PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and +1 us on Google+.